Love Will Tear Us Apart, written by Holly Seddon and read by Kate Rawson. Breathing in the tangy air, heavy with ozone and the promise of sea, I take Harry's hand. He's dozy enough not to fight me off, a devastating new habit that's taken effect over the last school year. We lean on each other as we walk up to the front door. The key is exactly where they said it would be. I'm giddy with relief. "Come on, Kate, she's not getting any lighter," Paul says, shifting Izzy onto his hip. I fumble my way in and feel for a light switch on the unfamiliar wall. "Oh, it's beautiful," I say. "This is nice," says Harry, scratching his head. "This girl is definitely growing," says Paul, kicking his shoes off. I know the layout of the cottage from the booking website, but it's always different in the flesh. You can feel the temperature of a place, smell the air freshener, and the remnants of what the previous guests cooked for their last melancholy dinner. The whole place seems entirely unknown, clandestine. This cottage is really lovely, and it should be. I wrote off 3 whole days finding just the right place. One pyjamaed leg tucked under me, clicking through galleries of pictures until my eyes stung. So many pretty cottages had sofas that looked a little hard, or an uninspiring white oven in the sea-facing kitchen. The lovelier we've made our own home, the more this stuff seems to matter, avoiding disappointment to the point of mania. And it has to be right. No distractions. It has to be right. Paul pads upstairs, and I follow closely behind to click on more lights, while Harry sits heavily on the bottom step. "Come on upstairs," Paul whispers hard. "Time for bed, Harry." Harry drags himself up to a wobbly stand and starts to plod up the stairs after us, before sitting back down to take his shoes off. I shouldn't have bought him lace-up trainers. It takes forever to get him in and out of them, which drives Paul to distraction. I know full well that they've not brushed their teeth as we tuck them in and kiss their sweet, sweaty heads. I didn't make them go for a wee either. I'll play dumb through any accidents. I run back into the black cold to fetch a carrier bag of journey mess from the car. For a brief, chilly moment, I think about lowering myself into the driver's seat. I imagine moving my hands slowly around the soft curve of the steering wheel and gingerly feeling the smooth tip of the gear stick. But I don't sit down. Instead, I lock the car with a thick, satisfying click and wonder what it would feel like to drive home alone.